So we're going to have our sermon now. But we're in for a treat, because instead of having one preacher this morning, we have three preachers. Three little ladies. And so we have Emily, Megan, and Steph. And they're almost like kids to me. In fact, Steph is. So these are three incredible young women, and we're just so blessed to have them as part of our church and part of our lives. And they just do an incredible, amazing job wherever they are, in their workplace, in their home, in their community, in our church. And we're going to be blessed this morning. So Emily's going to start us off. So why don't you welcome her as she comes?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. All right. Well, we're going to... Isn't it fun when the songs match the title of the message? And I'm clicking to oblivion. Oh, here we go. Beautiful. Okay. So we're going to talk about a life of surrender. So we thought it'd be fun if we all kind of went with what our journeys had looked, what it would look like for us to surrender to Him. So for me, a life of surrender looks like those descriptions. It's our hearts saying yes to God. It's giving over control. It's giving ourselves to Him, and it's yielding and submitting to Him. It's a thing in church that's like the word surrender, I guess, has a connotation of, I guess for some people it could stir up an emotion of excitement, whereas for others it could be a sense of, what's going to happen next, kind of a fearful thing. So I guess for me, growing up as a Christian in a Christian home, I gave my heart to Jesus at a young age, and I always had an understanding of God, probably mostly as in a fearful way, like I had to obey Him or else, kind of sort of a sense. So for me, I always just wanted to please God, so I would say yes to Him, but I had this sense of, you know, if I don't, then, you know, all hell's to pay, literally. So part of my journey has been learning about what it looks like to surrender, and the fact that it doesn't have to look like this scary, fearful thing, but it can look like a lot of things, which can lead to these things: a radical obedience, living love and fulfilled purpose, and that last one, freedom and joy, like living a life of freedom. So, you know, when people think about surrender, I guess even in war terms, if you surrender, you're giving yourself to the enemy or the people that you're fighting with, and it's a sense of kind of like bondage or oppression. But in the kingdom, it's actually opposite. It's actually stepping into freedom, and it's stepping into a life where you can actually no longer have to be bound by the things that have bound us before. So there's a, I don't know if you've ever heard this story before, but this is like a, I don't know if it's a myth or it's actually true, but if it's been used a lot, but people that would hunt in jungles for monkeys, they would actually, in order to trap them, they would actually get a coconut and then put a banana inside the coconut. And so part of the trap would be is that the monkey would come along, and as curious as monkeys would be, they would stick their hand in and then see the banana, grab the banana. But part of the trap would be that it actually, once it put its hand in and grabbed the banana, it couldn't pull its hand out without the banana. And so it's this trap of like, I want this banana, I'm going to have this banana, but I'm not going to, actually, I'm going to be trapped inside the coconut because I'm not going to let go of what I'm pursuing. And so it's this thing. Last week we were talking about desires, and Pastor Matt was talking about the fact that we can have desires. And desires can actually be both like godly and ungodly. So we can think about passions as being and desires as being things that are really healthy, even pure and God-given. And then on the other hand, they can also look like temptation and sin and different things like that. But the thing with this example is that for this monkey is like trapped in bondage, but for it to let go, there's actually this freedom. And so there's this thing in our lives and our walk with Jesus, and this is what I've experienced in walking with him for like a long time now, like almost a couple of decades, that it looks like pursuing him, it looks like this tension between pursuing the desires of our heart and you know, and giving them to him, but also letting them go. And it's this healthy thing. But I found that in actually letting the desires go that he's even placed in our heart, we actually receive freedom. Does anyone relate to that? So the question that people often ask is, how can I surrender? Like often I'd think, well, how do I really surrender to God? And the answer to that question is actually another question, which is, who am I surrendering to? So who is it that I'm actually giving my heart and my life to? And so I discovered that that God actually started to prove himself as really trustworthy and actually one that I wanted to surrender to, because I knew that he had really good intentions for my life. So in the letting go, I guess there's a cost there, but it became this thing of like, as I'm letting go, I'm finding a treasure in him, which is so much better. Like Jesus talked about the parable of the kingdom being like the man who sold everything to buy the pearl of great price. And so when it is that we give ourselves away to Jesus, we discover that he's the treasure that we've been longing for all our lives. Like the monkey gets like a banana. He'll get bananas with Jesus, like as in, like Jesus, like you know how it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Like that's actually the reality, that when we let things go, that often God actually brings in return the very things that we've been desiring, but in greater measure. And he's so trustworthy in that. So it's actually about knowing him, and it's knowing him is way more than actually the thing that we've been seeking and desiring. So that's sort of been part of my journey in surrender, is that it's actually about knowing him. When you know him, the act of surrender becomes actually something that's so easy to do, and it's not this religious thing of, oh, I'm stepping in and I'm going to surrender in my best capabilities, but it becomes your heart that's overflow, like your worship is to lay everything before him because you know how beautiful and how worthy he is, and knowing on the other side of that there's a hope that he's actually called you to that's so much far bigger, it's far greater than what you could ever try and possess in your own strength. You know, if Jesus says, like, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added, often people switch it around the other way. They'll seek the other things and then put God last. But the reality is that when you do that, when you're seeking the extra things, that if you're seeking that in your own strength, it's going to require your own strength to be able to sustain that. So when you actually seek God, he actually brings it in his timing and in his way. And that's been part of my journey. So that's me. I'm going to pass it on to Meeks, and she's going to share a bit of what surrender looks like to her.
Tag, round two. Well, my journey when I think about surrender has been one of a surrender to a belief in the reality of God and his kingdom. So the reality that God exists and that we're actually surrendering to a person, but surrendering to a belief in that, okay? And my journey even now and even recently is just, what does it look like to believe, you know, to actually believe? I think surrender and belief are tied together in that way. And surrender is a sign that I have settled in my heart to actually believe this truth. So you've settled it. Sometimes when you think about surrendering, you might picture someone with their hands up and, you know, it's like, okay, I can't do anything else. I give up, or I lay down all of my other expectations, all my confusion or doubts, and I settle. This is what it means to me, is that when I'm surrendering to God, I'm actually settling. It's a sign that I've settled in my heart to actually just believe, full stop, period, you know. And I think that's, Em's talked about the incredible freedom that can come from that. But there's also a number of facets to this surrendering a belief, okay? And for me, these three things I've picked out, they've actually been journeys, and they're still journeys in my own life of surrender to a belief in these things. So the first one, I surrender to a belief that God is good. Yes, amen. But I surrender to that. It's almost like, okay. I don't fully understand it. Maybe I have doubts. Maybe my perception of God being good doesn't match what it says in here, that God is good all the time. Maybe my reality doesn't necessarily see that. But in my life, I've learned the power of surrendering to a belief that's actually a settledness in my heart, you know. And it might have been in this particular statement, it's interesting, as you write things, God reminds you of why that's become a truth in your life. And I, about 6 years ago, endured probably, I would say, the most difficult year of my life. And I had to surrender to a belief that God was good before I completely understood or saw his goodness in that particular situation in my life. So I actually had to lay down my doubts. I had to lay down my physical pain and sickness at the time that would be contrary or seemed contrary to God's goodness. I actually had to lay that down, and I picked up and I settled on a belief in his word that God was good and that he had plans for me to prosper and to keep me sound and safe. And as Em was highlighting before, when I actually settled in my heart to surrender to that belief that he was good, there was complete freedom, and I actually experienced a reality of God's goodness. Okay, so when we're surrendering, we're actually surrendering to a reality. It might be that we give up initially and we have to give up, and we might not necessarily have seen a change in our lives at that point in time. We might not have seen the manifestation of God's goodness. But when we settle in our hearts to surrender to a belief in God's goodness, then we actually experience the reality, you know, and then we see circumstances change. You know, my physical body was healed when I settled in my heart to believe that God was good, and it overcame this misconception in my mind that God was giving me this sickness or giving me this trial to grow me, which was a messed up opinion of God and his goodness. But I had to settle in my heart to believe that he was good. The second one, I surrender to a belief that he wants to know me. When I think about this for my personal journey, it's that I've actually settled in my heart to believe that God can speak to me. And so when I hear something that is in line with God's word, we absolutely want to make sure that when we hear something, it's in line with God's word. He'll never go against his word. But when I hear that, I'm actually already settled in my heart to believe that I can hear God. So when I hear something that's going to be an encouraging word for someone else, I'm absolutely going to believe, and I'm going to surrender to a belief that, yep, I've heard from God there. And there's a confidence that comes with that when we surrender to a belief that he actually wants to know us. He wants to relate to us, you know. There's a reality to actually knowing him personally, a beautiful relationship. The third one there I've written is, I surrender to a belief that he can use me for his great purposes. And if I'm thinking about personal experiences that tie to that decision, just to, right, I give up, God, I actually just believe that you can use me of all people. But I think about when I was given the opportunity to lead the youth group, and in my mind, I had doubts and I had confusion and I wasn't sure whether I could do it. And God, why would I be this person to be in this position and to journey with you in this way? And there was all this perhaps turmoil and whatnot. But it got to a point where I surrendered to just a belief that, well, actually, God, you say in your word, it come all these things kind of, you can stand on the word of God here. It's important to really know and understand this. But I had to surrender to a belief that, well, your word says that you partner with me, Jesus, and then I'm united with you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so there was a surrender, there was a laying down of all the confusion, the fact that I hadn't seen myself do this, I hadn't seen myself run a youth group before, I didn't know how to do it, but I laid that down and picked up the belief, I'd settled in my heart to believe in the statements that God made here and even the words that he'd spoken to me. So I already have settled in my heart to believe that I can hear God. And so now when I hear him say, well, actually, Megan, you can do that, I give up that confusion and I settle in my heart to believe that he can use me powerfully. And it's a settled position, okay? So it's a surrender. It's like I give up. And it's like you give up and you've got nothing else. You don't have a backup plan. That's the settle. That's the surrender in it. You're surrendering completely to a belief that God can use you. And then you experience the reality. So you've surrendered when maybe you haven't necessarily experienced all the journey with God. But I found when you surrender, then the reality comes. And then you start to see young people being changed and having testimonies of incredible things that God's done in their life, which I'm experiencing all the time on Friday. And it's an incredible blessing, but it started with a surrender. Maybe, God, you can use me. And maybe it was even a maybe. but if I think about it spiritually, there was absolutely a settling in my heart to that belief. So that's my journey, I guess. And I think I'm learning just more and more that there's a reality to this. We're not just surrendering to a person, to an idea, to a philosophy. We actually surrender to God, who we can relate to, but we surrender to his reality and we exchange our reality for his when we surrender. There's an exchange there. We lay down our confusion, our right to understand, to fathom the things of God, and we actually pick up his reality. And then surrender just becomes so much easier. Every time I've done it, I'm like, I surrender far more easier now when I've seen the goodness of God that started from a settling in my heart to surrender to that belief. So he absolutely is so good that he will actually show us the reality, but sometimes the surrender, the settling in our heart has to come first. Does that make sense? Yeah, he absolutely delights to show us the reality of his kingdom, which I'm learning more and more. And just to finish, there's a couple of verses here that highlight this reality that we can experience when we settle in our heart to believe the truths that God has said. The first one is, "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." The phrasing may sound a little bit weird there, but what I want to highlight and what I'm learning and what I have experienced through surrender and a settling to believe in the truth of God is that there's a reality. We're surrendering to a reality. We can actually experience the tangible presence of God in our lives. There's a reality to it. So when we surrender, we're not surrendering to this idea, this maybe. We're actually surrendering to something that never changes and is a reality. And we actually, when we surrender, we step into that reality and we align ourselves with that. And then our life, our experience comes in line with that reality that's existed always. Okay, but surrender is like the gateway into that. We surrender our belief to align ourselves with that. So it's absolutely his blood is real drink. It's real sustenance for our spirit. His body is real food for us. The last one is one that's been personally important to me in that really difficult time. This was something that I had to settle to believe that the word of God could actually translate into a tangible reality in my life. And it's from Proverbs 4:20 to 22. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and their health to a whole man's body." So there's a reality that exists in heaven. Heaven's reality exists. And there's an invitation for us to surrender to a belief in that reality. And when we surrender to a belief in that reality, it's kind of like if we're operating down here, the reality of heaven just is continuous, okay? But when we surrender, we jump into this and we're swept along by it, and then we start to see the signs of the reality of God's kingdom. But there's absolutely a tangible, we can feel the tangible presence of God in our life on a day-to-day basis if we surrender to a belief that He actually is real and that He can transform our life. So bless you. I'm going to tag the next person.
Thanks. So I get to bring it home. I've got two Bibles today. I'm a bit of a translation freak. When I'm studying the Word, I'll have all my different translations over the bed, and the kids are like, "Mom, how many Bibles do you need?" But I just love reading all the different versions and what they say, and they're so good. So this morning, as I was pondering this thing about a life of surrender, and the girls and I chatted yesterday about it, I just had this really simple thought just dropped into my spirit. And the simple thought is that when every time that we surrender something, every time that we give God something, we actually make space. We actually make room for Him to come in and move in our lives. And I had this picture of my sister's cluttered spare bedroom. It's just full of junk. And I thought, imagine, it's kind of like that. Like our heart is like sometimes can just get full of all this stuff. And as soon as we give it to God, He can move, He can speak, He can have His way, He can bring peace, He can bring freedom and power in the situation. So it's like we just clear out all the junk for Him just to come and move and breathe in our lives. So I just wanted to read a scripture, and it's a letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church. And this just really just ties everything in today, from the songs to communion to what these girls have said. And it's just incredible. It's Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And that just makes me think of that scripture that God's eyes are just looking throughout the earth. He's looking for the true worshipers that are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's not just a moment, as Dad was saying, on a Sunday morning when we can lift our hands and we can sing and we can do all that we can to worship. And that is actually not worshiping in spirit in truth. It's a life. It's our whole lives laid down. So when He looks across the earth, more than anything, I just want to be one of those ones that worships in spirit in truth. It's because my body and my life is surrendered and laid down to Jesus. Then it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So if we go back to the top, in view of His mercy, in view of everything that He's done, and we heard about it at communion, His mercy, the undeserved love that He has for us, in view of that, in view that Jesus laid down His own life for us, in view that He has so much good stuff in store for us and His love is more than we can ever even comprehend or imagine, in view of that, our response is to lay down our bodies as a sacrifice. And a sacrifice, it's actually a bit of a foreign thing to us. We don't really do much sacrificing. It's not the culture of this world. The other night, actually, my 4-year-old nephew goes to a Christian kinder, and they had to bring in their teddies as a sacrifice. I was like, what? Yeah, they all brought their teddies and laid them on the altar for 2 weeks. I was shocked out of my brain, but they're teaching the kids sacrifice. But it's just, it's so foreign to us because the world is like, no, you do what you want. You do what you want with your body. But then God's way is just total opposite. That's why it talks about the renewing of our mind. And when we get into His Word and when we spend time with Him, He starts to change the way we think. When we surrender, it gives Him permission to come and do stuff in our lives and use us and show us His will. That's what it says. So now I've got my other translation just because I love it. So this is the Passion. And as we get the band to come back, we're going to worship. But let's just take this in. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices. And live in holiness. Experience all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will. And as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. How incredible is that? A beautiful life. We sang a song, Beautiful Surrender. And that's what this is. It's beautiful when you lay your life down before God and let Him use you. It's beautiful when you get to the end of your life with no regrets. That you didn't hold anything back from Him. That's what I want more than anything, to get to the end and know that I just gave it all to God and that He used me and that we did everything we could on this earth to bring as many people to heaven as possible. That is beautiful. So I'd just like you all to stand. God is so incredible. And in this moment, the three of us were talking, we're like, let's just give everyone an opportunity to respond. I actually remember a time back when I was a teenager and church had finished and I was up where Ryan was playing the keyboard and people were just lingering. You know how you just want to linger, you just want to stay there in His presence when His presence are in the room. And I was just playing the keyboard and I was like, God, I am all in. And I remember just in my mind, physically laying everything down across the altar. I was like, God, I give you my life. And next, God, I give you my friends. God, I give you my hands and my feet. And then I just kept in my mind as I was playing and worshiping, just laying things across the altar. God, I give you my money, not just the 10%, but I just give it all to you. All my stuff that I own, I just give it to you. And I just physically saw all these things light across the altar as I was playing. And it was like, that was it. I just laid it all down. And in that scripture that I read, when it says to offer your bodies, if you look that up in the Greek, the offer, it actually means once and for all. Isn't that incredible? So I can pinpoint the time where I did that. Once and for all, I'm all in. And then, of course, there's day-to-day things that we need to lay down and surrender. But if you've never done that once and for all, surrendering to God, I encourage you this morning, come out, spend some time, and just surrender it to Him and see what He'll do. And you know, this is just carpet. You can do it in your seat, but something happens when you step out and you walk out the front. Someone said to me once, it's like there's a line here. And when you actually just step over the line, it's awesome. It's not scary at all. But something happens when you really just step out and physically do something. So we're going to open up this altar. And if you'd like to come and just surrender to God, maybe you've done that. You just want to come and just let Him do some more renewing in your mind, because that's an ongoing process that just keeps going, and we can come become more and more like Him in the way that we think. Or if you want to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, please just come forward and someone would love to pray with you. So let's sing.